through the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings during our scripture reading time. We read Genesis chapter 4 Sunday, and I thought I wanted to preach on it, so I believe I will. So I will be referring to Genesis 4. Keep your Bibles open tonight. Gonna flip through to several passages, but we're gonna start in Genesis 4:16, title of the sermon is East of Eden, East of Eden. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Jesus, reveal yourself to us tonight. Help us to follow you. Help us to learn from Cain, his bad example. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, we live in a world gone wrong. Something about human civilization that is not right. I think most everybody, Christian, non-Christian, would agree with that. We disagree with all the reasons, but we can all look at it and say, something's not right. That's the story the scriptures are telling, the Bible is telling. The world has gone wrong. Humanity thought it could know good from evil apart from God. So Adam and Eve reach out and partake from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, wanting to know good from evil apart from God. The study of human history, if you've studied human history, and we all have in one way or another, shows we are not capable of knowing right from wrong, good from evil, apart from God. We live in a world gone wrong. And I believe it's because we live in a world built around the wrong axis. Axis, the center point that the world revolves around. Axis, the line around which a body orbits. Axis, a centering principle. Axis, a foundation. Now Jesus has come into this world as the Savior of the world, I believe, to give the world a new axis. We're going to see tonight that Cain gave the world an axis, and human history has given the world an axis that we have been orbiting around, of the world centered around the axis of power enforced by violence. The axis of power enforced by violence is the axis of Cain, but Jesus came to recenter the world around an axis of love expressed through forgiveness. And that's what we hope to see tonight, the two different ways of forming civilization, the Cain way and the Jesus way. Number two, Cain and Abel are at odds with each other. Cain and Abel are at odds with each other. Cain is a tiller of the ground. Abel is a keeper of the flocks. A farmer, Cain, a shepherd, Abel. Oh, the farmer and the cowman should be friends. They should. But over the course of human history, human beings, when we understood the power of agriculture, the power of being farmers, we got to the place where humans could stay in one place. And when we started staying one place, we could build big cities. The shepherds, the cowmen, the free grazers were always on the move. They were always in the fields. When Cain went to harm his brother, he was in the field. He was free grazing. He was on the move. So there has always been this competition all the way back to Cain and Abel between the farmer and the cowman. I like cowboy movies. like his cowboy movie called Open Range, starring Robert Duvall and Kevin Costner. They're free grazers, they're shepherds, they have their cattle, and they're moving from place to place, and they get near one place and they're grazing off the land, and they're attacked by a group of men that lived in the city nearby, because the men that lived in the city did not like these free grazers. So for just being near the city, they were attacked. One of their party was killed. The other was almost killed, and they tried to kill them all. Human beings, over the course of history, have fought over land. For some reason, Cain and Abel begin to be at odds with each other. We have this mysterious story of a sacrifice of Abel that was received by God, and a sacrifice of Cain that was rejected by God. And Cain became very upset and became angry at his brother Abel. And God warned Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must overcome this. You must master this. But Cain does not. So Cain goes into the field where his free grazing brother is watching the sheep, the shepherd. And he rises up against his brother and he strikes him and he kills his brother. God comes to Cain and says, where is your brother? And Cain says, I don't know where my brother is. Am I supposed to be my brother's keeper like he's the keeper of those sheep? Am I supposed to be a free grazer? Am I supposed to keep track of him, be his shepherd, if you will, care for him? Ultimately, the answer is yes. But he was not his brother's shepherd. And God told Cain, I hear the voice of your brother's blood crying out from the ground. Blood has a voice. And righteous Abel's voice was crying out from the ground for vengeance, for justice. And God says, Cain, you are cursed. The earth will no longer yield its produce to you willingly. You will be a wanderer. And Cain is devastated and he says, I can't bear this. Everyone will be against me and they will try to kill me. And God said, I will put a mark on you. Whoever attacks Cain, Cain's vengeance shall be sevenfold. It became like a law. If you attacked Cain, it could go after you seven times over. Number three. Cain goes away from God towards the east. Cain goes away from God towards the east, to the land of Nod, east of Eden. If you've never read John Steinbeck's novel, East of Eden, I highly recommend it. It is about two brothers. It is basically John Steinbeck's parable of Cain and Abel. East of Eden. Going east in the scriptures is symbolic of going away from the will of God, going towards evil. Cain going east of Eden, away from God, towards evil. Adam and Eve, when they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, they were driven to the east. The story of the Tower of Babel, humanity, to get to the valley where they start to build the tower, they head east. When Lot separates from his uncle Abraham and goes in his own direction, he moves east to the city of Sodom. Moving east, moving away from God, moving towards evil, moving towards our own way. Number four. Scripture pictures Cain as building the first civilization. Scripture pictures Cain as building the first civilization. In the scriptures, Cain builds the first city. And he builds the first city east of Eden, going east, going towards evil, going away from God. Cain is a murderer who is cursed. And he's building his city, he's building his civilization around his personality, around who he is. And he builds his city around an axis of power enforced by violence. His power enforced over his brother, slaying his brother. That's the person who built the first city, where the strong rules over the weak. And I guarantee you, if you study human civilization, human history for very long, human civilization throughout his history, you will see it has been built on this axis, an axis of power enforced by violence. If you don't believe me, go do some research yourself. And you trace any civilization back to its origins, and I guarantee you, you will find blood on the ground. Like Abel's. Chapter 4 of Genesis, verses 23 and 24. Genesis 4, 23 and 24. This is five generations after Cain. This is a story about Cain's great-great-grandson, Lamech. Lamech, Cain's great-great-grandson, said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me." The young man injured him. The young man wounded him. What did he do? He struck back even worse, and he killed him. If Cain is avenged seven times, if anybody hurts Cain, he can go out and avenge himself seven times, then Lamech 70 times seven. Avenge 70 times seven. Vengeance is 70 times sevenfold greater five generations later than it was in Cain's time. Civilization, the city that Cain has built, is going in the wrong direction. It is getting worse and worse, exponentially increasing in the desire for vengeance. You remember that time Simon Peter came to Jesus and he says, "If somebody injures me or has wounded me or has sinned against me, how many times do I have to forgive them before I can, you know, strike back with a little vengeance of my own? Stop this forgiving stuff." Seven times? That'd be as good as Cain. Cain was avenged seven times. I'll forgive seven times. Remember what Jesus said? He said, not seven times, 70 times seven. That's where he was getting this. Lamech avenges himself 70 times seven. Jesus comes along with a new axis. It says, no, we're not doing Cain and we're not doing Lamech. We're doing 70 times seven forgiveness, bringing humanity where it needs to be. Number five. Human civilization built on violence is doomed eventually, thoroughly doomed. Human civilization built on violence is doomed. The very next generation after Lamech, six generations after Cain, we get to Noah. And human civilization has gone completely wrong, so wrong that God is grieved that he had made humanity. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Genesis 6, 11 through 13. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth." God has the power to judge, has the moral authority to judge, and he is judging the earth because of violence. The only sin mentioned here in the days of Noah that is judged by God is violence. Did you ever notice that before? We imagine this other sins, and there most likely is other sins. But the sin that God judges here and mentions twice is the sin of violence. Lamech, the young man injured me, a young man wounded me, so I killed him. Cain killed his brother. Violence keeps increasing. The human attitude towards violence is sometimes it's not that bad of a sin. It's not our top 10 list of sins, but it's what God destroyed the world for was because of violence. We put sexual sins up here. We talk about that group, and they're just messed up sexually, and they perverted, and we put those sins up here. That's why God's going to destroy, or that's why God is going to judge. But violence is the sin that is mentioned here. Many times we put violence, it's not so bad, it's down here. Unless we're the ones that are being attacked, that somebody's using violence against us. You go to the great Roman Empire, the Empire of the Romans. Western civilization, the United States and Europe, has been greatly influenced by the great Roman Empire. Greatly influenced. And if you don't believe me, I submit to you the summer months coming up, July and August, named after Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus. We have been greatly influenced by the Roman Empire. I don't know if you know the story, the myth, it's not a true story, but the myth of the foundation of Rome. How was Rome founded? Well, the myth goes like this. There were two brothers named Romulus and Remus. Romulus and Remus. They were brothers, children, sons of the Roman god of war, Mars. Again, this is a myth, Roman myth, Roman mythology. They were cast out of the heavens by their father, Mars. They were cast down to earth, and they were raised by a she-wolf. As they grew, as they became men, Romulus and Remus wanted to found a city. Romulus wanted to found the city on the Palatine Hill. Remus wanted to found the city on the Aventine Hill. These are two of the seven hills of Rome. You've heard the seven hills of Rome. These are the two of the seven hills. They argue, they disagree, and they fight. And during this fight, Romulus kills Remus. And Romulus names the city after himself, Rome. He creates, the first two things that he creates is the Roman legion, the Roman army to fight his wars, and the Roman Senate to rule over his city. That is the founding myth of Rome. One brother killing another. Does that sound familiar to you? Although not a true story, this myth will tell you the mentality of the people of the Roman Empire. And this type of myth you can see throughout history and throughout literature, through all of history. Lord of the Rings, Professor Tolkien, I like that story. You have Smeagol. It's his birthday. And he wants a ring that his brother Smeagol. He could have thought of two better names than that, but that's the names he thought of. Smeagol and Deagol. Deagol finds this ring, the ring of power. And he wants it because it's his birthday. So he grabs his brother and he chokes his brother and he murders his brother to get the ring. This could be the story of human history over and over again. We want the ring of power, and we will kill our brother to get it. Even if we don't get our hands dirty, we'll just vote for and encourage the ones who will. We found our cities on the blood of Abel, on the blood of Remus, on the blood of Deagle. Our cities have glory. They have splendor throughout human history, but they have to hide an ugliness. The ugliness is that Cain killed Abel, that we killed our brother. Number six, that's the bad news. That's Cain's axis. It's, this is kind of depressing tonight. We're about to change here, okay? Number six, go west and look for a different city. Go west and look for a different city. Things are going wrong. God has judged the earth. Things are getting bad, so God decides to start a plan. And he uses a man named Abraham, Abram. And Abraham starts looking for something. And he starts on a journey, and he's not heading east. He starts heading west, Scripture tells us. He's not heading east, away from eating, away from God, towards evil. He starts heading west. What was he looking for? Do you remember what Abraham was looking for? He was looking for a city. Cain built the first city, remember? It says, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and architect was not Cain, but whose builder and architect was God. He was looking for a design for human civilization that was based on God's character. He had been living in Ur of the Chaldees long enough, and he saw that Ur of the Chaldees was not God's way, because Ur of the Chaldees, you had to be careful because they killed their brothers all the time. Violence, violence, violence. So he got out of there and he headed west. West is the symbol for something new. West is the symbol for going God's way. Go west, young man. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is good. Stay with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, who was heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, and not Cain, I might add. Cain built his city on vengeance and killing his brother, but what God was doing through Abraham, and what he was doing through Isaac, and what he was doing through Jacob, what he was doing through the nation of Israel, he was ultimately leading civilization, leading people who would want to be a part of this, leading people to a new city, to his city. And it's a long and complex story. And Abraham never saw the city, but he saw it from afar off, verses 13 and 14 tell us. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. They're looking for a new place. They're looking for a new axis. They're looking for a new civilization. Abraham and the patriarchs were not at home in the way the world had been arranged. Abraham was not at home in Ur of the Chaldees. He was not at home in that city that had been formed in the pattern of Cain. He was not at home there. Verse 15. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, if they had been thinking of Ur of the Chaldees, if they had been thinking of a city that matched the pattern of Cain, they would have had the opportunity to return. They could have went back east. Like Cain, they could have headed east, away from God. And we will all have the opportunity consistently and constantly to go back east, to go back Cain's way. you don't believe me, watch the news tonight, and I guarantee you they'll show you an opportunity to go Cain's way, to go back to the city, to the civilization that Cain has built. Verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, Abraham, we think he was looking to go to heaven when he died. That's why he didn't receive the city, the blessing, the promise. He was not looking to go to heaven when he died. He was looking for something here on earth. He was looking for something from heaven. That's what he was looking for. If all he wanted to do, and some people say, oh, we're just waiting to go to heaven so we can see that heavenly city. If all he wanted to do was go to heaven when he died, he could just stay in Ur, the Chaldees, and just drop dead when it was his time. But he wanted something more than that. He wanted to move westward. He wanted to obey God. He was looking for something from heaven, heaven on earth. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They had their exploits of faith, but the goal they did not receive. The goal is the city, the new way of running the earth. And number 7, you, as believers in Christ, you have come to that new city. You have come to that new city. You mean will one day. When we get to heaven, or when Jesus comes back, that's when you mean. No. You have come to that new city. And I don't expect you to believe me. I expect you to believe the scriptures. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. Do you believe you come to that new city? We'll let Hebrews tell you. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Not you will come in the future, in the sweet by and by, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You have come. Not you will come, you have come. Something from heaven has come to earth. The city that Abraham was looking for, Jesus brought. And Jesus does not found his city like Cain and Romulus by killing his brother, but by dying. The city, the civilization, the way of organizing humanity Jesus built and is building is built on forgiveness enforced by love. That's a radical city, and many, many will reject it. His cross becomes our new axis for civilization, the new axis for the world. So the city of God is not founded by a murderer. The city of God is founded by a Savior who was murdered. It was founded by the one who forgave his enemies. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance. The blood of Abel cried out for the ground from justice. Avenge me. And it brought a curse on Cain. And Cain founded his city, and the pattern repeated itself over and over again. But the blood of Jesus cries out, and it speaks a better word than the blood of righteous Abel. Jesus' blood does not cry out to bring a curse, but to bring a blessing and reconciliation, because it cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the question is, since we have come, and since we don't want to turn back and go east, what city are we going to keep looking for? Are we going to keep looking for the city that Jesus has founded on his blood, based on forgiveness and love of enemies? Or are we going to go back east and say, Cain's way is just easier? Cain's way is just, that's just the way it is. That's the way the world's run. That's the way it always has been. And that's the way it always will have to be. Or are we going to say, I've already come to the city, and I'm going to keep doing things the civilized way, Jesus' way? Well, I invite you eastward, westward tonight, to leave east and come west towards the table, towards Jesus, toward his blood. If you would, let's take communion together. This is how he builds a city. This is how God builds a city. On the blood of the Savior, built on forgiveness, enforced by love. I'm kind of homesick. His blood speaks a better word even than righteous Abel. Abel was righteous. But he even speaks a better word. Just thank him for the better word that his blood cries out. Father, we thank you that your blood cries out, forgive them. That your blood doesn't cry out a curse like Cain was cursed. But we are blessed beyond the curse. Your blood cries out a blessing. Your blood cries out peace. Lord, help us to go west. Help us not to head east of Eden, away from you. Open our eyes that we would see. Lord, this world says it's the way it is, it's the way it always has to be. Give us new eyes to see. Give us new ears to hear. Open up our minds. And help us to follow you like Abraham did, by faith. Help us to invite others into the city of God. A city built on forgiveness, enforced by love. We thank you for the spilled blood of Jesus that you're building your city upon, that you're building our lives upon. It cries out a better word. Father, forgive them. We thank you for your forgiveness tonight. By the broken body of Christ, you allowed yourself to be broken by your brothers that you created to bring healing, to bring a new way. So we thank you. the body of Christ broken for you. Receive in Jesus' name. We come to the blood of Christ, the sprinkling of blood, the new axis, the new foundation, the new orbit. You've forgiven us, and you love us. And now we'll be our brother's keeper because of the blood of Jesus. And we're building our lives, you're building our lives around this axis. Help us to love our brothers. Help us to love you with all of our hearts. Apply the blood to our life. We thank you. The spilled blood of Christ poured out for you. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing one time, Because He Lives.
Because He lives.
Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for the gathering of the people. And Lord, now I just ask that you would watch over your people as we go our separate ways. You would keep them, you would protect them, you would make your face shine upon them. You would be gracious to them and give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.